But just like the Catholic Church tried before, you cannot bury truths forever. They have a way of surviving and coming through. Book burners do not win, I'm glad to say. And we managed to find quite substantial parts of those, 32 of those 33 degrees, by piecing together work collected from people from the Masonic scholars of the last century and earlier this century. Now, they'd gathered together things that weren't particularly meaningful to them, but they were to us, because we'd got this bigger backdrop that we'd been working on. And the story that they told was electrifying, to put it mildly, because in these original degrees of Freemasonry that were tried to be stamped out by the Freemasons of London, it tells a story. It says that King Solomon instigated two bloodlines, and that those bloodlines were for the priest and the king, and they continued down through the temple. They were preserved, and in 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, some of that bloodline, some of those people, those priests, escaped to Europe, and they formed some of the great families of Europe. And these people returned with the First Crusade to Jerusalem. And these people camped on the Temple of Jerusalem, and they excavated there, and they removed documents, and they then called themselves the Knights Templar. They then, in 1140, something we didn't know, they took these documents to Kilwinning in Scotland. So everything that we had worked out, that this French informant had told us, was actually in writing in these old documents that record the contents of the 33 degrees. One thing that one of these historians recorded that caused him a lot of difficulty, and he didn't understand it, he was shown a crucifix, and on the crucifix were two sets of initials. There was JN and JBM. He was told the JN stood for Jesus Nazarenus, and the JBM stood for Jacques Burgundus Molloy. Well, Jacques Molloy was a Burgundian. On the same crucifix, the two messiahs, two crucified messiahs side by side. He found that difficult and offensive. In Norway, they still have that imagery. So a confirmation that there was a knowledge of the crucifixion of Jacques de Molay. So the rituals of Freemasonry do contain those secrets. We have not yet been able to find the content of the 33rd degree. We have some indication of it from a friend of ours, an author and researcher, a guy from Boston who lives in London now, incredibly knowledgeable man, whose family were founding fathers of this country. His name is Temple because of the Templars. His uncle was a 33rd degree Mason here in the United States. And when Robert Temple published a book called The Sirius Mystery, when he dealt with the relationship of the stars to the building of the pyramids in ancient Egypt, he wrote this in the 1970s, that he was contacted by his family, who said, "You must become a Freemason, because what you've written is so important and so correct, this knowledge of the purpose of ancient Egypt and the relationship between the stars and the pyramids, you need to know, but you can't know it until you're a 33rd degree Mason." That's all they'd tell him. So he thought, right, I'll join. So he joined, but a couple of months later his uncle died. So he never pursued it further and doesn't know. But the clue seems to be that there is some very ancient knowledge embedded in that higher degree. I think we will find out, because our friends in Scotland, in the Grand Lodge of Scotland, proudly showed us something recently, Robert and myself. In their library, they've got 2,500 volumes that have never been opened. Now, these volumes were removed from France at the time of the Napoleonic Wars, and they had been collected at the time of the French Revolution to protect the French lodges, to protect them from the problems that were happening at the time of the French Revolution, and they were brought to Scotland at the time of the Napoleonic Wars. And these, they've been beautifully bound and things, but many of them are handwritten articles and statements all about the original 33 degrees. So they are very ancient in themselves, not only about the 33 degrees, but about the purpose and meaning. Inside there are detailed charts of ancient Egyptian wisdom and knowledge. It concerns alchemy, it concerns all sorts of material, and no one has opened them. And they have invited us to study these. Now, unfortunately, a major university could spend 10 years easily just skimming the surface. So we're going to have to dip and look. But this is just an amazing find. And they just casually say, oh yes, we've got these books here. So we're really, really excited about that. But I'll just quickly tell you a little bit about the other work we're looking at the moment, which is all very secret. So secret, I shall tell you a little bit. There is a purpose behind Freemasonry. For most Freemasons, it's having a few beers and a bit of a laugh. Which is fair enough, I enjoy that. Yeah. But there was a great original purpose behind it. And the driving factor is the Book of Enoch. Enoch created two pillars. And on these pillars were created the wisdom of the world, intended to survive the flood. It sounds incredible, but it's not our work. It's the work of many scientists, but it appears that we can quite accurately date the flood now, 7,551 BC, 9,500 years ago, almost certainly on the 24th of September. And it wasn't rain, and the reason it can be dated is, there's a whole host of reasons, because there was a cometary impact with the planet, and they saw it coming. It broke up as it passed Jupiter and took about 2 years before it hit us. Seven huge lumps all hit ocean, creating tidal waves 3.5 miles high. Most of the United States was swamped, large parts of Australia, Africa, and we believe that there is very powerful evidence that there was a worldwide civilization then, pretty advanced. They had use of a force that we believe that we can demonstrate, which we don't have, which uses the power of stones, and this is open to scientific investigation. It's not just an extension of dowsing. It can be proven and shown. But they used this for communications. They also had relatively sophisticated navigation, probably equivalent to the middle of the last century. They could sail around the world very clearly. And they had telescopes and they had astronomical calculations. The Lost Book of Enoch, which a descendant of the Bruce, a Rex Dias family, went to Ethiopia to find a member of the Templar family, and he found the Book of Enoch, which had been missing, and it's full of astronomical calculations. And when you start piecing that together with the Book of Revelations and other books, you can see how these seven cometary impacts hit. All around the world, there are oral traditions that record this event. Freemasonry is an oral tradition. It doesn't allow deviation. Word for word, it's passed down the generations. And all across the world, Native Americans here tell the stories. Aborigines in Australia tell how the sea suddenly rose up and just ran inland, and how there was massive destruction. Because they were a seafaring civilization, they spoke one language. They were pretty well wiped out. But there were survivors because they created arcs to survive it. An ark almost certainly wasn't a boat. It was a carved chamber cut into rock. And some survived. And we find things like the Kennewick man found just a little south of here, a Caucasian skull dated at around 9,000 years ago. Shouldn't be there, but it is there. And if you look at the oral traditions of the Native Americans in this area, they tell a story that's almost identical to the Book of Enoch, how Beaver's Dam was destroyed, how the water rushed forth, and the beaver was torn to shreds, to 12 pieces, and each piece life was breathed into them, and man came back, and they had to go to somewhere in the middle of Lake Chelan, is it, where they would find instructions on how to reconstruct civilization from writings or pictures on rock that was there preserved. So there's a story that appears to be about the preservation of the knowledge there, and it appears all over the world. And from the directions that are explained, they tie in with these geological evidence, dendrochronology, tektite movements, its ice core samples. It can all be identified because terrible things happened. There was a nuclear winter afterwards, there was boiling rain dropping, the rain turned red. All of these things are described in the same way all around the world. But the important point is that there was this great civilization before, and parts survived. And those parts struggled for existence to keep their knowledge. Obviously, they were there in the land of summer, and they were there, in some effect, in Egypt. In ancient Egypt, in 3200, they believed that the gods had been there before. They lived with man, and they had special cemeteries for the gods. So they weren't very godlike if they died. But they must be really talking about people that were technologically more advanced than them in calling them gods. So Freemasonry is fairly unique in the Western world in that we have lost touch with oral traditions and cultural values, apart from Freemasonry, which has done its best to destroy them itself, but hasn't succeeded. And only the relatively primitive, to use an inappropriate word, societies have fully recorded what happened at that time. So we expect to find a great deal more when we get to our 2,500 volumes in Scotland. But I think what it's taught us, Freemasonry teaches great tolerance of all religions because they all hold great truths. The Templars were very passionate about that all religions have to be tolerated because they all have truths in them. And that has been passed on to Freemasonry. But so many people today have got their beliefs so entrenched that they believe that they alone have got the truth. And that is unfortunate and wrong. We describe it in our latest book as we've taken this journey through this difficult undergrowth, and we've finally arrived at some sort of hilltop where we can look back and we can see a landscape before us. And in the distance, we can see Jerusalem of the first century AD, and we've just seen a pathway that hasn't been spotted before. And Freemasonry is the most direct path back to the teachings of Jesus. The main path back, called the church, is not a very good route at all. It doesn't really lead there. It leads off to Persia, to Mithra. But there are all these people stood on these little hilltops, whether it's Freemasonry or whether it's Roman Catholicism, whatever it is, they're standing there saying, we've got it right, we've got it right, I daren't look anywhere else. Really, everywhere should be looked at. Now, Freemasonry is particularly important to this country because it is a Masonic experiment in democracy and the advancement of science and the right and freedom of the individual to think. That is something that comes directly from the teachings of Jesus, that everyone has got the ability to sin and therefore everyone has the right to count. No one should be ignored. And whether this country has fully achieved that or not is debatable, but it's done a damn good job. That is largely connected to Freemasonry. So I guess I've covered most things there, and I think you can see there is a pattern involved in things which you can only get by pulling in huge amounts of apparently disparate information and looking for new patterns and shapes. And it's really good to see that you people are here looking for knowledge, because belief and faith in something is great, but it's really good when it's underpinned by some knowledge. And you don't have to believe a word of what I said. You can believe some of it or all of it. That's up to you, but I hope that it's been some use to you to hear what I had to say. Thank you. I'm amazed. I'm very honoured. You seem to have appreciated that. Can I answer any questions?